Glad you're here today. I'm glad to be here myself today. I was just, I've had a pretty busy weekend. On Friday, I was away at in Victoria. Friday night, Pastor George and I decided to go down to Victoria for Friday night. They have something called Celebrate Recovery in Victoria. I don't know if you've heard of this, but basically, Celebrate Recovery is a place where people who say, I have a hurt or a habit or a hang-up, and I want to get past it, I want to move forward beyond it, and I want it to be through Jesus Christ, that's where people go in Victoria. And so we saw how many people were there, George? Over 100 people were there together, and we wanted to go and see it because we're going to, you should stay tuned, soon we will be seeing Celebrate Recovery taking off in the Comox Valley. It's really, really exciting. We've been meeting with other pastors in the valley. We've had some meetings with them. We've had the Celebrate Recovery from Victoria coming up to us and meeting with our pastors, talking about what it might look like. And you can bet we'll be talking about Celebrate Recovery in the future. We'll be sharing about it, and certainly we'll be seeing some testimonies about what's going on at Celebrate Recovery. And on that note, we actually have a man who many of you know, but some of you might not, who's down and actually interning with Celebrate Recovery from here. His name is Terry, and we wanted to see him and encourage him. But also, he said, hey, Pastor Evan, when you go to Courtney, can you say hi to everyone for me? I said, yeah, I'll say hi to everyone. You bet. He said, no. From the stage, would you say hi to everyone for me? Because he listens every Tuesday. We talk a couple times a week, and every Tuesday he calls and says, I just listened to the sermon from Northgate. Like, I haven't forgotten you guys. So anyways, he'll hear this. Terry says, hi, everybody. There it is. There it is. Hope you heard that, Terry. You can tell me when you text me later today. Okay. By that I mean Tuesday. We're in week 3 of a series called Seasons, and we're talking about seasons of life and how every different season of life sort of has some different challenges or some different opportunities. But in every season, there's probably something that you can be doing here in the church, or there's something that God might be calling you specifically to within that season. With youth, we talked about how youth need to not wait till they're, a certain age, or have kids, or got married, or get their license, but get going on their faith now. Get practicing their faith now. Last week, we talked to adults. And we just sort of broadly said adults, and we were especially talking to those who feel like they don't fit. They just feel like maybe because they don't have a spouse, or maybe because they don't have kids, they don't necessarily fit. And we said sometimes those are the best people to reach the other ones who feel like they don't fit. And we specifically looked at Ruth and Naomi last week. So if you missed those, you can check them out online. But this week, we're going to talk to parents. Parents is the stage of life we're talking about this week. Psalm 78, 5-6. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Sometimes it's pretty easy as a parent to feel like you're not doing everything you wish you could do. Sometimes it's pretty easy as a parent to feel like you're kind of failing at parenting. I actually looked up on Twitter a hashtag parent fails, and I want to share a few of those with you this morning. One of them is this. My 6-year-old just asked if pizza is a vegetable. Hashtag parent fail. Mom, does it really matter if this pepperoni pizza is a vegetable, right? Yeah. Next one. I just dropped my child off at a birthday party that's not until tomorrow. Sadly, this is not a first. Hashtag parent fail. Okay, have fun, Susie. See you later. Enjoy the day. Mom's yelling, wait, what is she doing here? Anyways, next one. I put sunscreen on my 4 kids, but one kid came back burnt. Turned out I lathered up one kid twice. So, Yeah. Of all these kids, two nicely, you know, has got a little bit of color in the day. One kid comes back like pale as anything, like lighter than they've ever been, and the other kid comes back like a lobster. You know, what happened to you and what? Oh, okay. I get it. Okay, I'll watch out for that next time. I just imagine a conveyor belt. I imagine sort of the Rankamas or something like that. Come on through. Come on through, kids. Lather, lather, lather. Come on. Lather, lather, lather. Lather, lather, lather. Okay, didn't I already? Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. See you later. And what's that kid doing out there? Anyways, let's go play in the sun. Okay. The next one. I forgot to fill the piñata with candy at my daughter's birthday party. Hashtag parent fail. You imagine the kids. Well, this is so fun. What are we doing this for anyways? Oh, well, when it blows up, it... Oh, whoops. Missed that one. Yeah, I missed that one. This is the last one. I think this one's good. This is from a kid talking about their parents. My dad told me the ice cream truck played music when all the ice cream was gone. Hashtag parent fail. That is not a parent failure. That is a parent success. Right? That's a success. Like, oh, look at all those foolish kids running to the ice cream truck when it's playing music. Like, Dad, the ice cream truck's do-do-do-do-do. Oh, never mind. Never mind. I guess I missed out again. I can't believe I missed out again. I thought that, I'm glad that joke worked because I wasn't sure if it would in here. I don't know if Courtney's ever had an ice cream truck or not. But anyways, if someone wants to start one next year, now you know, music goes on when you're out of ice cream. That's it. That's a good one. I think parenthood is just a funny thing. We definitely need to laugh at parenthood sometimes. For those of you who have kids, there are times when all you could do was laugh, right? Or cry, one of the two. And sometimes it was a mixture of, I can't help but laugh. Like, you just don't know what to do. Your emotions are going crazy. I remember when Kendall and I had Isabella. And I thought it was all just going to transition just normal. No problem. You know, we were youth pastors at the time. This will be easy. Youth will want to hang out with our kids. It'll be no problem. Yeah, this will be really fun. We'll just bring the kid into life with us at the church. This will be easy. And it wasn't. It just wasn't. Like, youth, don't you love these kids? And spit up on them or something. And like, hey, kid, could you go change my kid's diaper? Or like, it just doesn't work that way. As soon you start to feel, when you have newborns especially, like, I don't really feel like I'm all that involved with much of anything at the church anymore. I try to be. Yeah, I'm here in person, but I'm chasing my kid around and I'm doing this and this is really good. Yeah, church is fine. Anyway, I'm gonna go to the nursery and we'll be in the nursery for a while and hang out in the nursery, and like often Kendall and I would leave church and she would say, so how was church? Say, oh, it was great. You know, it was great. How was it for you? I have no idea. I don't even know what happened. It's a blur. You know, I don't know what just went on. There was these kids, and I have our kids, so we're good. But you feel so disconnected so quickly from normal life. You sort of stop getting phone calls. Lots of people say when they get newly married, all of a sudden they stop getting phone calls from their friends, like their single friends. And that happens a little bit where your single friends are hanging out and they say, nah, let's not call them married people. Well, that's like 10 times more when you have kids. Because like, we're just going to hang out. It's going to be a nice quiet evening. Yeah, let's invite those people with the new baby. Wah, 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 wah. Like, yeah, that's fun. All of a sudden, no one wants you around as much. All of a sudden, you're sort of pushed outside, and the only people you can hang out with are other parents, and hanging out with them is just like chasing around your kids together. You feel like you did something together. And it sort of carries on beyond that. Some of you are foster parents, and you've taken more young kids into your home, and then it sticks around like that. Or some of you, your kids have grown up a little bit, and that's meant now you're busy driving this one to this practice and this one to this thing and going here and there and everywhere and trying to figure it all out. And you don't exactly know how it all happens. You just got it all done, and that was all you could really get through. And devotions in your life sort of change a little bit. Like, I remember when we first had Isabella, I'm still going to get up and do my devotions at the exact same time all the time. But when I would get up at that time, I would sneak out, you know, open my Bible, the ruffling of pages, and wah. And so now either I say, Kendall, you get up and you go and take care of it so I can read the Bible, or I go and help the kid and don't read the Bible at that moment. I had a friend who said, I just started getting up at 3 a.m. 3 a.m.? Like, what are you talking about? I'm still rocking Isabella to sleep at that time. I'm trying to get to sleep at that point. She wouldn't even go lie down without me. I couldn't even be holding her. I had to be walking and holding her for the first several nights of her life. I remember that, just walking around. I remember specifically our bathroom, walking in circles in our bathroom. I have a video of it. As I'm walking around in the bathroom and she's just like finally asleep, but I have to keep moving in our bathroom, but it's the quietest place in case she cries so someone can get some sleep, right? But my friend said, I get up at 3 a.m. Like, how does that go? He said, well, I did get up at 3 a.m. anyways, but then the kids wake up then anyways. So I didn't really get anything done. So you're trying to hold the kids and hold your Bible and like, for God so loved the world that he gave his own, you know, like it changes everything. And parent life is a little bit funny. We start to feel like we maybe aren't doing as much for the church as we once did. I used to be involved in this and this and this and this, and now I have kids and it's hard for me to figure that all out. And I'm chasing my kids to all of these other places, and it can just be difficult to figure out how you serve the church the same way, how you get involved in the same way. I used to be on worship every week, and then I served in the library, and then I would do kids ministry, and I would do all of these things, and now I can barely do any of it. And though I think that parents need to find ways to remain involved, and I'm so thankful, isn't it so cool when the kids workers come up here and so many of them are parents? And they're like, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to invest in my kids' life and other kids' lives in this church. That's amazing. It's incredible when I see that. I love seeing that happen. And so we have parents who are very involved in this church, and it's amazing to see, but sometimes it feels like you wish you could do more. I wish I was being a better servant of the church or servant of Jesus or Christian, but I also wish I was being a better parent. I feel like I'm not doing the parenting I should do, but I'm not also not doing the faith stuff that I should be doing. I wish I could do both of these things better, and I'm not sure how well I'm doing. I have a few people, there are a few families in this church who actually bring their kids and go and serve at Soup and Sandwich on Saturdays. Isn't that cool? There are a number of families who decide that's what we're going to do. Instead of us trying to have a faith over here and our kids, you know, you just stay at home. We're just going to take the kids and we're going to do faith together. We're going to try it out together. See, God, when He started speaking about the value of parenting, He talked to parents about what they do for their kids. He said, you are the parents. There is a specific role. God has a specific calling. And sometimes we feel like, oh, all I'm doing is parenting right now. I'm barely making a difference at the church. But God would say, keep parenting. Keep loving those kids. Keep allowing them to know Jesus. Keep taking them to the soup kitchen. Keep telling them the stories of your faith. Keep telling them about who you are and what God has done in your life. Keep doing it. God often told the Israelites in the Old Testament, do things so that the kids would know. See, there's this one phrase that I really like from a particular pastor who I really like, and it's, always do what only you can do. Always do what only you can do. Make sure that in all that you do, you don't skip out on the thing that only you can do. If you don't parent your kids, who else will? Only you can parent your kids. Only you're there when they get up in the morning. Only you're there when you start at a bunch of the meals. Only you're there when they go to bed at night and you're reading the story. Only you can do that. Always do what only you can do. Because if other people can do it, then you can give it to other people. But parenting your kids is not something that you can give away. It's not something that other people can necessarily do. Deuteronomy 11, 18 to 21 says, fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. This is God talking to the Israelites about His plan and His way of living, His rules, His regulations. He's talked to them about this. He says, now keep me in mind. Tie them as a symbol on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And then this is it. Teach them to your children. talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Sometimes there's a mentality that the church will raise our kids. You know, that the youth ministry or the kids ministry will raise our kids. And though we're happy when people who aren't part of the church and are having a hard time, or people who are having a hard time in here just have a hard time parenting, because we want to help and we want to support, we want to be part of that. But when God talks about this and says, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, who is there when you lie down and when you get up? Who is there when you sit down for meals? It's the parents who are there. In fact, I started thinking about that phrase. Like, imagine if this was the phrase we used for youth leaders. Okay, make sure with the kids, you speak to them as soon as they rise from their bed, as soon as they're going to bed, and at every meal, and when they're walking around. Everyone in here would say, the youth pastor is weird. You know? The kids pastor is weird. Imagine if Pastor Joel was sort of sitting in your house and saying, is the kid up yet? I need to talk to them about God. You know, are they up yet? Because they're sleeping in late. I've got a lot of kids to visit this morning. You know, I need to get to a lot of houses and I need to talk to all of them. And how am I going to do that if your kid doesn't hurry up and get up? You know, instead of, nope, we're not there. Pastor Joel's not there. Pastor Matt's not there. And in fact, if Pastor Matt was walking every kid home from school and saying, hey, I know the Bible says that I need to walk with you and talk with you as you walk. As you walk, I need to talk with you about God. So, every kid, wait at school. I'll meet you at your school and walk you home. You know, okay, and he does it till midnight or something every single day. No, he's not there. But parents are. Parents are there for the kids. Parents are there when kids are going down. Parents are there when kids have maybe put on a mask all day at school and then come home and finally take the mask off and say, this is actually what I'm feeling. This is actually what I'm facing. This is actually what I'm going through. Parents. Parents are there. When Joshua and the Israelites cross the Jordan River, they cross over, the priests are standing in the middle of the river. If you don't know the story, basically God did this incredible thing where He stopped a river so that His people could walk through. And the priests are standing in the middle of the river with the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God. And there they are in the middle of the river, it's all dry. And at that moment, God says to Joshua, okay, send 12 people back from every tribe, send them back in there and get one of those dry rocks. So, okay. So they all go back in, they pick up these dry rocks, they bring them out, and God says, now set those up in a little pile. And why are you going to do that? Because in coming generations, when they forget what has happened, when they forget what the incredible things God has done, when they don't remember all of the stuff that God has accomplished in your lives, you'll be able to say, look at these rocks. Do you know what these rocks are from? They're from the bottom of that river. Because God stopped it. So even as you're living out your life of faith, like I think if I was Joshua, I'll forget it. We'll just tell, like we're going to forget this, God. Like we're going to forget this moment. This is incredible. We just crossed the Jordan on dry ground and we did the Red Sea on dry. Like this is, we're not going to forget this, God. How would we ever forget this? And God said, no. I care about the next generations. And you're the ones who are going to allow them to see what I have done. You need to remember them. This isn't just about the parents and God. This is about the parents and God and the kids. If your kids are going to remember God, you need to remember your kids. If your kids are going to remember God, you need to remember your kids. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our faith and us crossing the Jordan River and us getting into the Promised Land and us doing these things and just assume the kids will join us. But imagine I just know lots of kids who have decided I don't really care about faith because faith meant that my parents didn't care about me. I know kids who've walked through this. They had these really solid Christian parents, I guess, but they just go to church. And I wasn't really there, and I was just sort of stuck doing my own thing. And who's going to raise the kids if you don't? Always do what only you can do. Always do what only you can do. As I was preparing this message, I started thinking, sometimes when we're sitting in this place, and a message comes to parents like this, we can easily get in a place where we realize, I'm not sure if I've done as good of a job as I could have. Here's the good news for every single person in here. God is a God of grace. He's a God of second chances. That's what we believe. We believe that God is one who said, I don't know, I know where you've been, but more importantly, I know where I can take you. I know what I can do through you. I know what I can do even in the midst of you feeling like you've just actually parent failed. I mean, your kid thinking pizza as a vegetable isn't that big of a parent fail. That's why it's funny. But some people, I mean, all of us at some point can feel like, yeah, but I've really actually not done well at this. I've really actually not parented well. The good news is God still has a plan for you. God still has a plan for you. In fact, in the exact areas that we mess up, God often says, I want to restore that exact area. If it's parenting that you feel like you didn't do well at, God wants to say, I want to teach you how to be a parent. I want to show you how I am a parent. And He showed this very clearly in a story in 1 Samuel about Eli. Eli was this priest. And he had received the promise from God. His lineage had received a promise from God that said, you will be the priests. You will be the people who tell everyone about God and who help them carry out their sacrifices. You will be my people. All of you, that line will be my people. And so Eli was the priest for Israel. And then his sons became that as well. His sons were in a different area and his sons started messing up. They just started doing bad things, like they were sleeping with women that they had no right sleeping with. They were, when people would bring in sacrifices to God at that time, they'd bring in animals and things to sacrifice to God and say, you know, even my greatest livelihood is yours, God, and they'd bring it to Him. And these guys would be like, oh, that's great, yeah, we'll give that to God. And then they'd start eating it themselves, cut off some steaks themselves and eat that themselves. And all of a sudden they're putting themselves above God. Well, Eli sort of found out about this and he went to talk to his sons. And his sons, you know, you probably shouldn't maybe do that too much, I don't think. And he says, God doesn't like that, guys. I don't think so. But doesn't do anything else after that. Sons keep doing it. He doesn't really change anything. He just sort of doesn't take it all that serious. And who is going to do it if not Eli? If Eli doesn't call it out in his own sons, who's going to do it if not him? If he can't tell his sons how important it is that the people of God can worship God in purity and in fullness, if he's not going to do it for his sons, who's going to do it for his sons? So God eventually comes to Eli and says, Eli, your sons have frustrated me, and you haven't done as much as I'd like for you to do about that, so actually we're not going to have you, your line, be the priests anymore. Eli, well, that would have hit Eli in a big way. Parent fail. Hashtag parent fail. Oh, I should have challenged them greater. I should have pushed them a little harder. I should have had them hang out with me a little bit more and see what I do. Maybe I just should have helped them to see a little bit more. I shouldn't have had them run off and do that and not had as much accountability with them. I should have challenged them more when I talked to them. I should have reminded them of how important their role is. Oh, I have failed as a parent. Well, as this is all going on, there's a woman named Hannah. And Hannah is praying that she would be able to have a son or have a child. And so she's outside praying for a child. And she's praying and praying and praying over and over and over. And her husband Elkanah is sort of like, yeah, you keep praying and do your thing, but remember, I'm really important too. So she's praying and doing all this stuff and watching and seeing. And she says, Eli, if God will give me a child, if God will give me a son, I will commit him to God. You will have him. He will be in your court. He will be raised for God. He will be raised through you, Eli. You will become his dad, essentially. You will become the one who raises him, essentially. You will get a second shot. She wouldn't have said that because she didn't know. You will get to try this again, Eli. So God gives Hannah a child. They name that child Samuel, and that child comes into the service of God. Eli raises him, takes time with Him. They probably studied Scripture together. They probably prayed together. They probably learned about all the sacraments together and did all the things. Here's what you do when the Israelites come in with this animal and this animal. Here's all the things that how we help them to worship and how we create a space for them to worship. And all the stuff that we do, Samuel, here's what we do. And then Samuel goes to sleep one night. Still a pretty young lad. He goes to sleep one night and he goes and spends a little bit of time on their own. They're just going to bed. And God starts speaking to Samuel. God starts saying his name. Samuel. Samuel gets up. Walks over to Eli. Yes, Eli? Eli's like, what are you talking about? Go back to bed. I don't speak at this time of night. You know? Go back to bed. Samuel goes back to bed. Samuel. Yes, Eli? What can I do for you? I'm not talking to you. I didn't talk at all, actually. If it did, it was in my sleep. So go back to bed, Samuel. Samuel goes back to bed, lies down again, says, and God says, Samuel. Samuel gets up one more time. This is a strange trick you're playing here, Eli. I don't know the lesson, but anyways, yes. And Eli says, I get it. At that point, I think Eli could have done a number of different parenting things. He could have said, I get it. God is speaking to you. Listen, you sit here, Samuel. I'll go back into your room and I'll talk to God for you. I'll see what He wants. You know, he could have gone back in there and said, don't worry, I've done this before. You know, I know how this goes. Samuel, you're pretty young. You sit there. I'll go talk to God. Let's get this all sorted out because God keeps waking you up. We all want to have a nice sleep tonight. Okay, Samuel? He could have said that. He could have had a number of different options that he said, a number of different things that he might have said. But he says what I think all parents need to learn to say to their kids. He says, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Those who are serving communion, if you could go and take your time over there with Pastor George and Jessica and the rest of you. We can stay here for a moment. And worship leaders, and you can go over there as well. These guys are going to get ready to help us take communion after. But what happens now is Samuel goes back, lies down, says, okay, now I know. Now I know I'm hearing from God myself. Now I know that when God speaks, I can actually listen. I don't have to actually just wait on Eli. Eli does some stuff and he talks to God and I think he hears from God and I think some good things happen in his life. But now I know that it has to do with me. Now I know that God actually wants to speak with me. Sometimes parents have this idea that their kids are probably not capable of hearing from God. And so if something starts happening, they have to correct or they have to filter or they have to do these things. They have to figure it out for them and sort it out. But Eli maybe, I don't know, but maybe he made that mistake with the first kids. And now he's got Samuel to try it with. And Samuel comes and says, what do I do? I'm hearing a voice. And Eli says, you go and make faith real in your life. Have a real relationship with God in your life. Don't wait for just me to have the relationship so that you might find it. Sometimes as parents, we think we better go to church and get filled up and feel really good so that we can come back and raise our kids well and never actually talk to them about that. But Joshua learned and the Israelites learned that they don't talk about things that they've done or they've accomplished. They just talk about what God did in their life. And all of a sudden, God will place in the kid's heart some questions. What's this rock pile? Oh, that rock pile. That's when we were really, really brave and courageous. That wasn't it. That rock pile, oh. That was when God did something we could never have done on our own. That's all it was. That's all the parents of the kids had to learn to say. Well, God has done some things in my life that I've never been able to figure out myself. Can I tell you them, kids? Can I let you know about those kids? Here's what God has done in my life. Kids say, can I have that? You know, can I have that from God? And parents, you've just accomplished your greatest task. Not to then say, okay, kids, yeah, you sure can have that. You know, like, here's what I did and here's all the things. But yeah, you can. You can have that. God wants to do something in your life. Eli stops himself from intervening and just says, go talk to God. Go talk to God. Jesus says sometimes if we want to receive the kingdom, we need to act like little kids. We don't need to be childish and all goofy and stuff, though. Sometimes we could use a little bit more goofiness. But we should go and step into whatever God's got in our ignorance even. And we should step in and say, I don't exactly know what's going to happen here, but I'm just going to take a step in faith. Parents, if you have kids, young kids or old kids, you can start in the morning every day and say, here's what God is doing in my life. Here's what He did in my life yesterday. Here's what He did in my life 5 years ago. Here's what's going on. Here's an altar that I set up. And do you want to know about it, kid? Can we talk about that? The number of intentional moments that I have with my kids in a day is crazy. And so often, I miss those. Okay, go to bed. Let's just go to bed. Yeah, let's go to bed. Hey, Daddy, tell me about that Bible story. There's one Bible story that Izzy loves so much. He wants it read every time. And sometimes I'm like, no. We've done enough stories. Time to go to sleep. You just need to sleep. That's all you need to do. Maybe God's speaking to her life. Maybe God's actually talking to her and saying, I need you to know the story. I need you to know the story, sweet Isabella. I need you to hear from me. I need you to understand maybe she's actually hearing something from God and that I'm missing. Parents, you have an incredible opportunity. Sometimes we decide that raising our kids is so secondary because no one else is going to raise your kids. Sometimes it's like a secure position. You know, if we're going to pump ourselves up, if people are going to be proud of what we do, it's probably not going to be about raising kids because no one really sees us raise our kids. It's probably in church when we get to do big things and we get to be part of the big stuff and we get to serve all over the city and look how many things I've done. And when you have to give all those up to take care of one or two or three or four kids, you're sort of like, I don't know, people aren't going to think that I'm doing as much as I could. But all of a sudden, if those one and two and three and four decide, I'm going to serve Jesus with my life and I'm going to go do those big things and I'm going to go be a missionary and I'm going to make a difference in my school and I'm going to go and live the way that I'm supposed to live and I hear Jesus and I understand Him and I expect Him to speak, I'll tell you, you've done more success in your life than any amount of ministry. And if you haven't done that in your past, it's not too late. It's not too late. It wasn't too late for Eli. It's not too late for you. The Lord has a plan for your kids. And He still believes that you can be part of that plan. He still believes that you can do something about that plan. We're going to take communion this morning. I think sometimes when I talk about parents, some of you aren't parents. And all you're thinking about, or maybe you are parents, but all you're thinking about is how much of failures your parents were. You think of all the hurt that you have from your family and your parents, and you wonder about that and feel like, I'm not sure if I can connect with this. Well, the good news is we come to church and we can talk to parents about how to raise their kids, but we also come to church and we can talk to everyone about how God is our Father. He wants to redeem what's been lost for you. He wants to make things right where you feel like you've been wronged and where you've been hurt and where you've been broken. God is our Father. Jesus started talking about God as the Father and everyone started saying, whoa, you don't say that about God. He's way too big and way too special and way too great to call Him a Father. That doesn't make sense. You can't call Him a Father. but He is. Today as we take communion, it's about us remembering Jesus. And Jesus called God the Father. Jesus was broken for us because the Father sent His Son to be broken for us. Jesus bled for us because the Father sent His Son to bleed for us. Jesus became the sacrifice that God said, I need my kids to know how much I love them. I need my kids to feel my love. I need my kids to come back into my fold and be cared for by me. And if the best way I can do that is by sending my Son, and I'll continue to be His Father, and I'll continue to be their Father, and as He goes, they will know that I love them. We treat communion as a response to God today. And if you say, I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in God, and that's okay, you don't need to take communion today. If you say, I need to know that Father. Because though I tried to raise my kids well, I feel like I've missed out on something because my parents didn't necessarily raise me well, or I have these challenges or these difficulties. Today, God says, I want to redeem that. And I've got a plan for you. And I've got kids for you to raise. Maybe not biologically. I've got people for you to invest in. I've got those for you to care for. He wants to redeem you. Communion is the representation of Jesus Christ's body and blood broken and shed for us. And when we eat it, when we drink it, we remember Him. We remember what He did for us, so that we might be connected again to the Father, so we might know that relationship purely and wholly, so we might be fully redeemed. As you eat this, you're accepting that Jesus Christ died for you. In your heart, let it be true that you just believe that Jesus Christ died for you and wanted you to know the love of the Father. 1 Corinthians 11:23, for I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this is the cup, the new covenant, in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. As you receive the bread and the juice, you can take it wherever you like. You can wander around this room if you want. You can go find a family member that you want to sit beside. You can take it on your own and find your own place and just sit before God and remember what He's done for you and how He cares for you as a father. You can repent before God about the parenting that you feel like you've missed out on and feel His empowering as He redeems that and allows you a new opportunity and a new chance. You can do this how you like. This is sort of the end of the service. And so you can take communion on your own or in a group or in a family, however you like at this time. But remember Him. Remember Him who was slain for us.